We've been talking about a bunch of different things, but I got to tell you, health savings accounts, HSAs, health savings accounts is something that both left and right can agree on. And you know, if you're listening to my show, even with those that I don't agree with, I try to start with finding common ground. These are like HSAs. You can agree on this. Both left and right health savings accounts are a good idea. And they break through the philosophical division that we have on Obamacare and things like that. So I want to get somebody on that really understands this. So joining us now is Stephen Cosby of the Cosby Insurance Group to talk about HSAs today. Now, Stephen specializes in assisting small and large employers to build and maintain the best medical plans possible for their company employees and family members. Stephen is well-credentialed in Health Service Administration with a very impressive curriculum vitae. Steve has also published both regionally and nationally on topics of healthcare reform. So he's a heavy hitter. So look, if you're a startup company, if you're a defense contractor or a smaller mid-sized business in Virginia, Maryland, Washington, D.C., West Virginia, and you need a competent and skilled professional to navigate you through employer mandates, group insurance requirements, and the healthcare reform debacle, then Steve Cosby, he might be your guy. And who do we have joining us now? Steve Cosby. Hey, Steve, how you doing?
John, I'm doing well. Good morning to you.
Great to have you, man. Now,
absolutely,
Stephen, the topic of healthcare reform has been beaten like a dead horse. It's been examined. It's been analyzed by every media outlet around there, think tanks, the Heritage Foundation, you name it, everybody's on it. Both sides are locked politically, appealing to their each individual basis. The liberals claiming Obamacare is the best thing in the history of the globe. Conservatives me saying thing is a disaster. But at the end of the day, is it possible that we might have an unlikely compromise on this battle?
Well, I think we need to look at the positive if we can, absolutely. And I think there might be, it might be a stretch to say a loving compromise between left and right, but certainly it looks like there could be a definitely compromise. And there's so much going on with reform and the noise that we're hearing out of Washington. It's difficult to pick up the newspaper and not read something about healthcare reform from, you know, the House trying to repeal it 40 times and the Senate refusing each one. It's not a clear understanding of does healthcare reform in the end have a value to the individual consumer or the business person. That's really what I think we need to get down to. And we haven't had a lot of opportunity to talk about that. You know, the papers are always talking about the exchanges. It just seemed, John, to have sucked all the air out of the room. I mean, it's all we talk about. We've got 36 exchanges out there that are being run by the federal government. Mm-hmm. 14 of them are independently run by the states and the District of Columbia.
Right.
Half of those are just a debacle. And the ones that are being run well now are struggling to try to figure out how to pay for it. Because, John, if you know that they're supposed to be self-sustaining financially in 2015.
I mean, they are, but they're not, right?
Right, no. And they're going to have to add taxes to the plan. So not only are they going to look at adding additional premium costs to the existing plans offered them, the exchange, there are proposals out there now to actually tax insurances outside the exchange that have nothing to do with healthcare reform, like dental, life insurance, disability, just to finance this monster of an exchange, which, you know, I greatly disagree with the concept of the government out there selling insurance policies. But just that topic of health insurance exchange is massive, and it leaves the average business person just really frustrated as far as, you know, what's the value in it for me? You know, what do I do? You know, it's just an odd place for the average business person to be in. And what we're finding is that the individual person or the small business guy is seeing enormous rate increases, John, on their health insurances. I've got some clients that have seen increases north of 100%.
Mm-hmm.
Others and others in the 30 to 40% range. It's just really difficult for these business people to absorb this kind of cost.
It's a disaster, Steve, and it really is. I mean, I'll just give you two examples in our own company here on the John Frederick Show. There's me. Our insurance was, I don't know, it was like 500 a month and, or 600, I think, and that was $650. And I'm covering a family of three, and, my deductible was, I think $1,000. Okay. Now I'm paying $890. So it went up 30%, but my deductible, Stephen, my deductible is $8,500. I mean, so I don't have insurance. I have catastrophic. I'm paying 30% higher for basically no insurance is what I'm doing. My vice president of sales, Andy, I mean, his premium, he's single. His premium just went up 50%, 50%. And he got a higher deductible. It's incredible.
Yeah. And there are people like you across the nation that are experiencing the same thing. Their rate increases are going way high. Because in the past, they've been pretty good risk, and you've been able to market yourself as a better risk to insurance companies and get the best price. But now we have this rating scheme that's coming out of Obamacare that everybody's pretty much supposed to pay the same premium. It's the guaranteed issue scheme. I mean, there are some variables, you know, whether or not you use tobacco or not, your family size, geography, the type of plan you pick, you know, John, that they have these metallic levels now from platinum, gold, silver, bronze. But in theory, we're all supposed to pay the same thing and be guaranteed issue regardless of your health. So it's just that kind of rating where you can't leverage your good risk and get a preferred rate. Have just sent the premiums through the roof. Now, to try to defend the insurers a little bit, they've done this to protect themselves. I mean, right. They're terrified of people coming who are uninsured, and now they've got an unlimited liability to pay for the medical claims of these people. And it's just resulting in very high premiums for the average person.
Right.
It's very frustrating.
Okay. It's 9:21 here on the John Frederick Show. We're with Stephen Cosby of the Cosby Insurance Group. All right, Stephen, look, here's the deal. Deductibles are going up. Everybody's upset.
Right.
There's going to be a new wave of increases coming down the pike in the next 90 days. Everybody sees it. How can your company help?
Well, that's where I'm talking about the unintended compromise. You've seen these higher premiums. You're seeing, as a result, much higher deductibles than the drafters of the law ever intended. And it's just the way the insurance companies reacted to the law. And it's just a failure to understand, you know, those who developed the law, where this would push the insurers in the market to higher deductibles. So that's where I think we can coalesce around a compromise and is financing those deductibles. The HSA is just a wonderful, you know, program that was, you know, created during the Bush administration. It's clearly a, you know, a righty idea, and the left has kind of kept it at arm's length for the longest time. But now that, you know, Obamacare is really, you know, has to take ownership for all these larger deductibles that are coming out, I mean, it seems like an unintended compromise, you know, almost a marriage made in heaven. I know that would offend a lot of people because I know the right's very against Obamacare and the left thinks it's perfect and hasn't been willing to embrace health savings account. But, you know, what we're finding with our clients is that they have these high deductibles or they have to go to them, John, just to save on the premiums.
Right.
I mean, if you're getting a 65% rate increase and you're a business owner, how do you absorb that?
No, you don't.
Yeah. I mean, And you have two choices. You can send more premium to the insurance company, or you can divert some of that money to yourself by buying less insurance and sort of self-funding it through a health savings account.
All right. So the idea, just to break it down, is so in order to get your deductible down, your premiums go up, but they go up like crazy talk, okay, like thousands of dollars. I mean, My deductible right now is $8,500. If I wanted my deductible back to the $500 like I had it, I'd be paying $3,500 a month, not $850. So as I said when the conversation started, I don't have insurance. Okay, I have catastrophic insurance only. But what you're saying is I can do a health savings account basically to fund me if something's the matter between between nothing at all and whatever my deductible is, right?
Absolutely. Especially if you look at the fungibility of money, you really can put yourself back to having no deductible by putting more money in your HSA. You can have as rich a plan as you want, and the money that you put into your HSA goes in tax-free, and if you ever need to spend it on qualified medical expenses, you get to spend it tax-free. I mean,
that basically is the answer to fill the deductible gap. So what amount would I be able to put into an HSA tax-free?
Tax-free. As an individual, you can put up to $3,300, John.
How about as a family?
As a family, $6,550
per year,
and that's a 2014 limit.
So I could basically take $500 a month. Okay, I could put that in. I could put that in an HSA. I'm not going to pay any taxes on it. So bang, it goes right off.
Right.
And then let's say I have a problem, and my medical bills are $3,000. Now I'm not going to get anything from my insurance company because I got an $8,500 deductible. So I'm screwed.
Right.
But what you're saying is I can pay that $3,000 out of my tax-free HSA.
Absolutely. You can take the money out of your HSA and use it to finance that deductible or even health care that may not be covered by the health plan. Your health plan probably doesn't cover your dental care. If one of your children needs braces, you've got money there in your health savings account that you can use. So it has much more flexibility than even your health insurance plan covers you for.
Okay, so basically it's tax-free, and you're able to fill the gap between crazy premiums and higher deductible. And the thing is, you put the money in, and if you don't spend it, it stays there, right? It's not like gone. It just stays there.
Stay there, and you, depending on the institution you open your HSA with, you can earn interest. So the money goes in, you circumvent taxes legally, you earn interest, and then if you ever need to spend the money on health care, qualified health care expenses, you get to spend it tax-free without a consequence.
Hey, I'm in.
All right.
Now I got to get signed up for this. Now, Stephen, this is hot. I'm going to just tell you straight out, this is hot. Because what you've done is you've found a way to bridge the gap between these enormous deductibles and enormous premiums. So what I might even do is change my plan so I can go down from like, you know, $900 to maybe $600, get my deductible up higher, but then put the difference and then add a little to it to an HSA. Brilliant.
Absolutely.
How do I get involved? Give everybody your phone number, your website, because this is hot.
703-349-1094.